Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boy Flip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holy Field Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer, the Houston Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vibach Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
They are happy tonight because it's so warm here, but we're going to have our next 2 days is going to be our winter. Yeah.
Yes.
It's,
in the 40s here.
Is it already?
Blistering cold in Florida. Well, it's going to be. Yeah. Like
Day
after tomorrow or something. Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah. It's supposed to hit us. Cold front's supposed to be moving through, what, tonight? Tomorrow morning? Sometime tonight or something like that. But yeah, us people are trying to keep warm tonight. Good for them. Good for them.
Yeah. Good stuff. I think they should they should just close the state while it's, you know, that time of temperature. I mean, just close it down and wait until it jumps back into the 80s again. Everything
should
just shut down.
I like that. we can start.
Except
we can start a campaign on that. And
good luck.
You know, I've been getting a lot of people in the winery this week. I mean, it's the week between Christmas and New Year. Well, I say a lot of people compared to where you work, a lot of people. I'm not getting anybody, but I'm getting a lot of people coming through from out of state, from all sorts of stuff. And I'm getting a lot of people who just moved to Florida within the past 6 months. I've gotten, I don't know, 7 couples that just recently moved to Florida. But that it reminds me of a statistic I read not too long ago, that 600 people a day move into Florida.
Wow.
I mean, you can't, you know, it's not like all 600 is moving into Tampa or Orlando, but throughout the state, but still 600 people a day. Oh my gosh. That is wonder we're second population.
They come in on I-75. They get on I-4, all 600 of them. They get on I-4 a certain way. They go, you know what? This ain't going to happen. They get on 95 and they head back north again because they don't want to deal with I-4 or, you know, our interstate's running. It's got to be something around there. But they're staying here, or they just, I mean, they're
staying
they're moving
here. They are staying
here.
600 people a day move into Florida.
Why?
Yep.
Would...
Well, you know, look at almost any city up north right now. I mean, you know, they might have themselves a little warm spell going through, but then it's going to be back down into tundra. So, you know.
Right.
We need to get out of this.
Wow.
And so they moved to Florida. But, yeah, you know, 600 people a day.
Yeah.
That's,
wow.
You know, I know. It,
that's
it just,
amazing.
It is. It really is. And, you know, it helps us from having to have state income tax and stuff like that because all these people come in. So, oh,
yep.
Wow. You know, what can we do? I just, you know, let them all come out and visit the winery and I'll be happy. Yeah, 600 of them. Got a few things to talk to you about tonight. This is our last program of 2016, moving into the new year. I don't know if anybody read my post on Facebook for All About Wine, but, you know, we're not going to have a best of program because, you know, like, we try to give you the best we have every week. So, you know, the best of would have to be the whole year condensed into 1 hour, and we're not going to do that. So, no best of. Thank you. Bus people are a little enthusiastic about that, but not a lot. But we're going to talk about a few things here, and then we got a festival coming up this Saturday, so we'll let Mike tell about that and everything. First, let's start out with Bronco Wine has paired up with OI Bottles. And Amorim America. Amorim is AMORIMCA.com, and OI is O-I.com. Amorim is a cork company, which actually I use, and OI is a bottling company, which actually I get my glass from, which is just a coincidence. It has nothing to do with what I'm going to tell you here, but they paired up with Bronco Wine Company. Now, Bronco Wine Company, you got to realize, is one of the biggest wine companies in this country. They are enormous, right on up there with Gallo and Constellation brands and stuff like that. And Bronco has announced that the wines under its Red Truck brand will feature a new closure. It's called the Helix packaging closure, H-E-L-I-X, Helix. It's the world's first cork stopper and glass bottle with an easy-to-open and reclose technology. Okay, now the Helix brand was developed by Amarin, and the bottle company, OI, have worked together, and they've came out with this new closure. Is the twist to open concept. It combines, they say, an ergonomically designed stopper made from cork and a glass bottle with an internal thread in the neck. And this creates a high performing, sophisticated wine packaging solution, as they say. What it is it's just like a bar top, and I don't know if you're familiar with bar top, but it's got the plastic usually or a bigger cork at the top, and a lot of your port bottles come with a bar top, and some of your liquor brands and stuff have a bar top. But this Helix combines the benefits of cork with glass. It it's sustainable. It's friendly, usable, user friendly, and it's a twist open, resealable. I've seen pictures of it. I have not had an opportunity to use it, but I've been seeing pictures of this pop up off and on for the last 6-8 months. Well, it is on the market. Red Truck, if you see it, and everybody, if you haven't tried Red Truck, you really should. It's a pretty decent red wine, but it is just a little simple twist off with grooves in the cork which match the grooves in the bottle neck, in the top of the bottle. So that is out now. It's out there. So check it out. It's should be good. I use a twist or a bar top for my port, and it seals very well. And so this has to be a nice new innovation for wine closing. So that's good. Something I saw in one of my trade journals, one of my stuff here. Just to give you an idea. If you're interested, I don't know. But let me give you an idea. This is from a vineyard equipment company called Lakeview. And they have year-end pricing specials on equipment, harvesters and different things. And I don't know if you'd be interested, but let me tell you anyway. The cost for some of this stuff. Now, this is used equipment. This isn't brand new. If I told you brand new, it'd shock you. But this is cost of different equipment. If you were to go out and get it used, if you're starting a winery, if you're starting a vineyard, here are some things to look at. This is the 2015 Grigori G3. It is a low hour unit, new warranty, side discharge, 1400 liter stainless steel reserve hopper, drive wheels with steering correction, 25% slope correction, low compaction tires. It's a picker. $125,000 U.S. Now, this is all U.S. dollars, but this is reduced price. Here's a tow-behind harvester. This is a 1,200-liter stainless steel tank, high-powered fan cleaning system, $75,000. A low-hour stainless steel bin on this other picker here, $215,000, includes a one-year warranty. This is another tow-behind. $55,000, different unit, Corban, $3,000. Let's see. Here's a Corban 3006 with this is a picking unit that goes over the vineyards and shakes them. This is $69,000. Just to give you an idea, I mean, it's not cheap. A John Deere 615 or 6115, low hours available right now, $69,000. Another John Deere 5093 EN. I don't give the price on this. A 1998 John Deere, they're 5310, $11,000. This is basic tractors here. A Kubota compact tractor, front end loader, $17,000. It's shocking how much some of this stuff could cost you if you're having yourself, you get in a big vineyard and you start getting started and all that. Here's great tote wagons, 4-ton capacity stainless steel, with hitch, clearance price at $15,000 each. Great presses, 4 to choose from, bladder presses, high capacity, $5,000 each. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. Gives you an idea of why a lot of times you go out into a vineyard or something and you see equipment sitting around that looks like it's like 100 years old. Probably is. These wine people know how to fix all that stuff, and they'll have equipment, and they won't want to get rid of it because it's just so expensive to get up to date and new. So just for, fun, wanted to read you that. Time for some classifieds. Give you the end of the year here. I just read you all those prices to do a vineyard. Now I'm going to tell you how much it's going to cost to our give you opportunities to buy yourself a vineyard or a tasting or something like that. So a tasting room. So it's time for the Class 5. We still don't have any music for Class 5. That's a project we're going to have to put on the burner for 2017. Get some sort of music for our classified section, or maybe a background music or something. I don't know. I am drinking. Well, actually, Mike waxed so poetic about the strawberry port a couple weeks ago that I have to try it, and I put it in my glass tonight. So that's what I'm having tonight is strawberry port. So,
good choice.
Yes, it is.
The wine doctors recommend the most.
The wine doctors. Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure. Always fun to pour that port to people, and I go, I'm not really a port fan. And then they go, ooh, that's good. I go, yeah.
So, delicious.
But,
yep.
In fact, the first sip was so good, I got to do another one. Oh, I like my port. Okay. A little bit of real estate here. Tasting room and inventory. This is tasting room in downtown Paso Robles. Wow. Turnkey, 700 square feet, 3-year renewable lease option, 150 wine club members, 2 labels, and inventory is included, 2,003 cases of award-winning wine and 1,180 gallons of bulk wine. So you're going to have to get that bottled, I'm sure. You can't let that sit around too long. So there is no price, no anything. If you're interested, get in touch. I'll tell you more about it or contact you about, give you the right person to contact. This is Bonnie V, Canton TXBNB, Canton, Texas bed and breakfast, I would have guessed. It says, dream of owning a bed and breakfast? Bon Vin is an all-inclusive chateau, private vineyard, and winery, and income-producing cottage offering a complete turnkey package. Property includes 4.9 acres with a pond, cover, barn, and storage shed, plus 2.63 acres of additional pasture suitable for cultivar or stock expansion. Outdoor living spaces and abundant decking. Perfect for entertaining, custom-built, secluded tranquility. I don't know what it is. 469 area code. I think that's Texas. So there you go. If you're interested in that, Texas, it says open spaces. Doesn't sound like there's a structure on it right now, though. Highly profitable winery. Highly successful winery with multiple tasting room locations and breathtaking Los Gatos Ridge top property. Zone mixed use allowing residential and commercial operations on 18 plus minus acres with 1 acre premium vineyard. Property includes brand, label, and all intellectual property along with all equipment and wine inventory. Property has over a 6% cap rate, making this a must-have business if running a highly successful brand excites you. Again, it doesn't say where. 805, that's the area code for the realtor. I think that's 805 is California. So that's in, oh, yeah, it says Los Gatos Ridge. Okay, that's California. Vineyard, winery, and B&B. The price reduced. Great opportunity for cash positive combination at Gateway to Kings Canyon and Sequoia Park. I think I mentioned this before. They still haven't sold this. Turnkey offering includes everything. Consulting winemaker desires to continue and current owners will assist in transition. North County Properties. Okay, so that's up in north of Napa area. A Pinot Noir vineyard. 9-acre Pinot Noir vineyard with home site located in South Napa's Jameson Canyon. turnkey operation producing world-class grapes. Only parcel in Jameson Canyon with stoplight access. So, so that's South Napa there in Jameson Canyon. There's 14.6 acres planned in the year 2000, 6-acre building site and tasting room, Pete's Mountain in Westland, Oregon. And it's Pinot Noir, Pomeride, and Dijon, 777-115-114-667 clones. So a bunch of clones on that Pinot Noir on that 14-plus acres. So, well, give me a call. Oregon, if you're looking at something in Oregon, get in touch. We'll get you hooked up. Murphy Creek Vineyard Estate, 80.97-acre vineyard estate. 80, that's big. Excuse me. 30 acres organic Cabernet with 30 additional acres plantable. Deep irrigation system. Domestic wells provide plenty of water. 3 homes, on-site wine storage, and established wine label. They said you can request a full brochure for it. That's 209 area code. 209. 209. I don't know where that is. For the realtor, I don't know if that's where the property is, though. It didn't say anything else. You know, they might. Murphy Creek. Tasting room for sale. Tasting room for sale. Santa Barbara Wine Country. Private back patio. Vineyard Winery. 20 acre, 12 acres vineyard, 3 bedroom, 2 bath custom home, bonded winery with 2 bed rental apartment above winery. Centrally located in the Fairplay. I think that's in the foothills area. That's only $869,000. That's a good price, actually. Don't know what the water situation would be. This is something you have to worry, I think, on anything you get in California. What's going to happen with the water situation? It's scary there. The Rocks AVA. The Rocks AVA. Plus or minus 63 acres of potential vineyard ground with water rights, most of which is located within the Rocks AVA. Property is listed for sale by Tippett Company of Oregon. So there you go. It's in Oregon. That's a 509 area code, so that might give us a clue there. Home with 10-acre vineyard. 26 acres with 10-acre vineyard. 3-bedroom, 2-bath home with a pool, spa. Needs TLC. Well, in other words, you need to fix it up. It's not... What's the 29? No. Yes, 29. It also has a small guest house. Great location between Latcham and Mellowwood wineries. Owner financing, $595,000, just over $500,000. That's a good price for that, too. 26 acres, wow. And it's in the foothills area, too. Tasting room for sale. One partner ownership. 5 winery co-op in Hillsburg. Turnkey ready at a great location. Foothill Winery. 40 acres, 15-acre vineyard. Cash flow positive. With tasting room. Includes 3-bedroom house in a peaceful setting. $1,750,000. Sonoma County Vineyard Estate Site. Ideal location and setting for the estate of your dreams. Approximately 98 acres, Chalk Hill and Russian River AVAs. Private estate site with original farmhouse, barn, olive trees, oaks, and a creek, wildlife, and 180-degree views. Approximately 6.68 acres organic Cabernet Sauvignon with additional acreage plantable. 5-bedroom vested septic, two producing wells, zoned for main residence and second residence, and a guest house close to Sonoma County Airport, town of Hillsburg, wineries, hiking, biking, and golf. Approximately 75 minutes to San Francisco. Yeah, if you drive it at 3 o'clock in the morning when there's no cars on the road, in other words, you're going to have to add another 45 minutes to that. No price. It's one of those, I guess, if you have to ask. But if you're interested, get in touch. I'll send you the right people. And last one, Vineyard Estate. 68 acres, 48-acre vineyard, 4,500-square-foot hilltop home in the center of Fairplay. Did I just read that? It looks like I said Fairplay or something earlier. I may have. Oh, well. Priced reduced to $2,195,000. That's up in the foothills of California again, too. So there you go. Those are our real estate's last one for the year. As always, if you want to find out more, email me or Facebook or any number of ways. There's lots of ways you can do it through All About Wine, or you can do it through the website of the company of the Florida State Winery anyway. You can just get a hold of me any way you would like, and I'll get back to you. Okay, now we have New Year coming up on Sunday. Saturday night is New Year's Eve, and Sunday, New Year coming up. I figured it'd be a good chance. Oh, excuse me for a second. Sorry about that. I had to sneeze that snuck up on me there. But I figured it'd be a good opportunity to a little review on sparkling wines, since hey, that's where most people have it on occasions like the New Year's Eve. But like I've been telling you all year long, anytime is a good time for sparkling wines. There is a lot of them out there. I was at the store the other day. I was looking at prices on some sparkling wines. Oh my gosh, they're cheap. I don't know what the quality is on them. I mean, I've had some very good sparkling wines, and when they're good, they're really good. But I honestly can say I haven't had a lot of inexpensive sparkling wines. I usually, when I get them, it's usually for an occasion, so I spend a little bit more. And then I preach to you to try them all the time, and I haven't been doing it. Here's a quick rundown of the three major types. Now, not included in this is sparkling wine, which is United States term for the bubbly. You can call it champagne if you're grandfathered in for the name, but otherwise, that's over 10 years ago they started that. But champagne, the most ubiquitous sparkling wine, gets its name from the region of France in which it is produced. Simply, if it's a sparkling wine and it's not produced in Champagne, it can't technically be called Champagne. The quote here says, there are quite a few Champagne houses producing good Champagne in France. Your Champagne selection is generally greater than your Prosecco and Cava options, and it's hard to find a bad bottle of Champagne, which is pretty much true if you're going to, get one from France. Champagnes usually have more toasty notes than other sparkling wines. Hints of fig and almond usually present themselves into it. And it's going to run you $25 to over $300 a bottle. So you expect quality when you start getting up in those higher prices. A lesser-known sparkling wine option related to Champagne is a Cremant, which is produced in different parts of France, but in the same style as the wine produced in Champagne, and it's often much cheaper, usually around $20. It can be similar to champagne. They range from light body to full body, but most of them are dry. A popular or common fruit characteristic is strawberry and apple. So if you're looking for an alternative, try Cremant. Cava. Cava is a sparkling wine that comes from Spain, the majority of which is produced in the Catalonia region. Bottles typically start at $10 or even less, making it an ideal bubbly if you're having a big bunch of people over. You can pick up a case for a really good price on that. The most expensive combos are selling for around $20. So, you know, you can still get yourself a great, great deal. They're generally pretty light, versatile. Yeah. You can do cavas if you're making a mimosa or just by itself. It's good for parties. It's more of a floral, crisp, and citrusy than you're going to find in champagnes. And also not quite as acidic as champagnes, which is a good thing. People don't like that little bite of acid in there. So that would be a good thing. And then, well, here, Rondel Brut. Cava goes for about $8.99. So, you know, like I say, pick up a case for less than $100 at that price. Prosecco. Italy's most popular sparkling wine is Prosecco, an easy sipping option that is even fruitier than champagne, and it's also lighter body and not quite as bubbly, and it's extremely popular now. You don't really have to have cases of Prosecco, but Prosecco can be pretty versatile. Some people like to drink it in mixed drink cocktails. These are for that. Prosecco is also more affordable than champagne. Prosecco bottles are going to run you up to around $30 a bottle at the high end. They're cheaper because they don't have that prestige as a champagne, but they are being discovered. They're one of the fastest moving sparkling wines out there. They are light, medium, or heavy body, makes no difference, typically drier, and on the slighter, sweeter side. So if you just don't want a champagne, well, because of the cost or because it's a little bit too dry, then go Prosecco or Cava or even sparkling wines, domestic sparkling wines, which could be called champagne or any number of other names on it also. So you can do that. Let me make a quick note here. And let me move on. Now, I want to pass on. Where are we? Okay. Where is it? I want to pass on some information now. As always, there's always some interesting stuff that I can share with you. First part here. This I was going to share with you a couple of weeks ago, and I kept forgetting and missing it and all that. But we've talked about phylloxera and how it is affecting some areas and popping up again. Well, it has been found in Colorado. November 29th, an insect capable of damaging Colorado's wine grape crop was confirmed in Mesa County. Phylloxera was found in Grand Valley American Viticulture Area, Grand Valley AVA, in western Colorado. Nearly 75% of the grape acreage in the Grand Valley AVA, which stretches from the Colorado River between Palisade and Grand Junction, is known for its unique environment and high elevation. And the phylloxera takes on numerous life cycles, full life cycles, four steps, and it has been found in the Grand Valley AVA. They're watching very closely to see what they can do. They may have to do some digging and replanting roots. They're not sure what's going on yet. This is a rather recent article here. As I find out more, I will try to follow up and let you know what's going on. But phylloxera has been found in Colorado. Let's see, where are we right here? The Chinese, we talked about the horrendous amount of fake wines that are in China and that are all over China and that are, you know, a couple of weeks ago or last week I talked about how they said that there's something like, you know, up to maybe as high as 50% of the wines in areas that are affected with cheap wine. But recently, China has uncovered two more fake alcohol rings in two separate provinces. The eastern Anhui province, A-N-H-U-I province, they busted a ring operating a distribution network of fake wines and spirits worth about $4.3 million U.S. The wine confiscated was just the tip of the iceberg, they say. It also later sold the wines in Jiangsu, Anhui, and Hubei provinces. They said it could be as much as $30 million in faked wine floating around out there. Said about 150 cases of fake domestic spirits responded on the scene at a premium store, and they started to follow up and find, check and see what it was, and they're finding a lot of others. Police said more than 300 bottles of fake wines were discovered at a workshop that was being rented, and it included dozens of bottles of high-end spirits and other products. They said that the neighboring region, Hong Kong, is full of fake wines, and that the fake wine business in Hong Kong and China is a multi-billion dollar business. So they closed down two more. They found a couple more. This is from the drinks business vibe, but a constant battle. I just unbelievable how much fake wine is over there in that part of the world. I'm always amazed every time I read something new on that. So there's something, a 300-year-old bottle of Madeira was sold recently. Christie's Auction House, a 301-year-old bottle of Madeira sold for $39,000 U.S. This was sold to a collector in the Netherlands. It was billed as the oldest Madeira in the world, and the final price for it was an estimated to go for was between $12,000 and $18,000, but it went for $39,000. In 2015, Christie sold the same wine for around $20,000, and this year it sold for $39,000. The final prices vary greatly; they are sold well above their estimates. They expect them to be greater than they thought they were. This particular bottle, made by JCA&C Torrance, was produced in 1715. And that was the year that five-year-old Louis the 15th took the throne. They sampled the wine in 2013, describing it as remarkably youthful and surprisingly sweet. It was bought by a Netherlands collector. So, wow, $39,000 for a 301-year-old bottle of wine. But if that same bottle was sold in 2015 for $20,000, this man paid $39,000. It's an investment. Save it a year, and you can imagine how much he's going to get for it next year. That's where you're looking at investments. That's the way to do it there. The world of politics. We're finding, you know, I mean, we all are aware of what's going on in the world of politics. It's in our face every day on the paper, on TV, and all that. Excuse me. They're saying that the mixing of politics and wine might be something like the old proverbial oil and water. It comes to a point where it's not going to mix well, and it's going to end up costing more money for wine. And the big scare is President-elect Donald Trump's repeated talk of deportation. And it's scaring wineries. It's scaring wineries all across the country. Many of the vineyard owners use mostly migrant or Hispanic workers to harvest their crop. And, well, for example, Michigan in 2010, winery owners talked about the lack of strong labor market for the harvest and the scare the immigration changes were putting in the industry back then. They said that the U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates 67% of people picking fruit each year is what is the amount that is being used. The labor cost represents 72% of the harvesting of Napa Valley grapes. They're saying the only crop that is a percentage higher than the grapes is California asparagus. Now, why, I don't know. They didn't explain that. They said that the reduced workload could really, really affect cost of everything. They can use picking machines, but the cost of picking equipment, like I just read for you, is really expensive. And it's also really hard on the grapes. I have seen picking machines work their way through vineyards before, and they actually shake the vines hard and to get it get the grapes to fall. And you get sticks and all sorts of stuff, and you still got to clean it and all that. So, and it's not just wine. There's other problems. I mean, fruits and vegetables and all the other stuff that's in California. Wine, red wine blends continue to be a hot category, but they, you know, may have problems with the picking of any of the grapes. So costs may go up and wine costs may go up. Top 10 list. Here's something else, too. Wines, red wine blends, I just mentioned that. Red blends are one of the hottest categories in the market. You're seeing them everywhere. In fact, I just picked up a blend yesterday. I can't think of the name of the wine right now. But they're becoming, you know, stronger and bolder and using grapes that, you know, you don't get in all areas. So it's something that's starting to jump out at people. The top 10 sellers for this past year were Brancott Estate Sauvignon Blanc, Vouvray Clicquot Yellow Label Champagne, Trevinto Malbec Reserve, Jara de Prique, Josanne Grand Reserva Cabernet, Miomi Pinot Noir, Rombar Chardonnay, Merivale Rosé, Clos de Vaux Cabernet, Camus Napa Valley Cabernet, and Borgas Capito Chianti Classico, which is really surprising. In the price range, five of these retail for under $20. So, you know, you can have to sell a lot of $10 wines to equal the one that sells for $70, and that really is what happens. So, but labor costs and all that, you may be seeing some new cost in your wine that is slowly creeping up simply because of the fact that it costs more to pick them and get them into the tanks. Science. The grapes out there, they're being affected. They're being affected by a lot of things. The warming of areas and moisture, different things. Downy mildew is really starting to cause a problem, especially with Chardonnay grapes in different areas. Downy mildew has always been a problem with grapevines, but Chardonnay grapes could, suffer from it. In New Jersey, for example, they spray 6 to 12 times a season to control the downy mildew. But there is a new technique called CRISPR, C-R-I-S-P-R. That's short for clustered, regularly interspaced, short palindromic repeats, which allows scientists to tweak the genes of Chardonnays to become resistant to downy mildew. All right. They can engineer it and test it so that CRISPR on grape variety called Dijon Chardonnay 76 is not affected by downy mildew, and yet the wine that is made from that is the same as the wines that are made from your traditional grape. So when they breed the grapes to improve the environmental fitness, they risk sometimes changing flavors. But with this, it hasn't changed flavors. But the question is this GMO? Most scientists who work with CRISPR argues that the work has nothing to do with GMOs or genetically modified organisms. The meaning of GMO isn't always clear. It usually refers to a technique that takes the genetic information from one species and inserts it into the DNA of a completely different one to give those results to that new thing. Now, some of GMOs are modified genes that produce bacterial toxins which kill insect pests, and some of them are made to be tolerant to Roundup or herbicide glyphosate. But GMOs, this CRISPR is different from GMOs. It's not the same, they're saying. And instead of inserting a chunk of genetic code, they can change just a small bit of code within the targeted plant. And it allows for a smaller change, which makes for ultimately a bigger change in the fact that it's resistant to downy mildew. You can't generalize gene editing or CRISPR. Proponents tend to focus on the subtler ways it can change the plant, while those opposed to biotech food underscore the drastic draconian possibilities of it being horrible. They're saying the truth's there somewhere. They don't know. Social concerns for GMOs, but they're saying this isn't really GMOs, but they are doing some of this. They said the debate is ongoing. So, Chardonnay is very, very susceptible to downy mildew, and it's going to get worse before it gets better, so they need to do something. So they found that this is working. So I don't know. It's something that if you are a GMO advocate, then, hey, make it. Give me my Chardonnay. If you're anti-GMO, then you're going to have to start looking at the fact that, maybe my Chardonnays are going to be changing and not be what I expect them to be, or they've been genetically modified. I also found a bunch of articles on this cold front, this polar vortex that went by week and a half ago, and the snows and all that. Everyone, and I looked up different things, different places, I looked at what I can find. It is basically no damage to grapevines. A few little small plants here and there, a few of them that were susceptible to north exposure and things like this had some damage. But overall, wherever you go, Washington, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Minnesota, Montana, anywhere in the northern states and down into the southern states, you got some very cold weather in Texas that week and all that. They're saying that no grape damage at all to any of those. So good. We can be thankful for that. Also, I'm finding a lot of articles. They're saying that the 2016 harvest was great. I mean, just overall, every time I'm saying, you know, New York, Finger Lakes had a great harvest. Hudson Valley, Long Island, going to Pennsylvania areas, Ohio, Illinois, Missouri, they're saying the harvest turned out real well. And Texas, Washington, Oregon, California. It's like 2016 was a banner year for good harvest throughout the country. I hope so. You know, it would be nice in, you know, a year or so to start getting some of these nice 2016s out and being able to see for ourselves how good they really are and bring out some nice full-bodied wines for us to enjoy and say, hey, you know, 16 wasn't a loss after all. It was good for us. Excuse me again. This is an interesting article. I wanted to share this with you. It is a simple answer to a wine hangover. Now, since this is the weekend to imbibe a little bit too much, this is says red wine feels like hangovers feel like Satan drilled a hole in your head, but they say a red wine hangover is nothing like any other from grapes. They said there's a new startup company that feels they have created a wine filter that can stop the headaches altogether. ULO, U with a little double dot over the U, LLO, company from Chicago, believes they developed a filtering system that eliminates the sulfites that are believed to contribute wine headaches. Well, you know, let's stop right there and explain that 99.9% of the time, the sulfites are not the problem for headaches. And so, therefore, this whole article is ridiculous because they're looking at sulfites. Okay, sulfites are a preservative. It's in so many different things. And so, you know, unless you're allergic to sulfites, which very few people are, this is not going to make a big difference. But it says that if you filter your wine through this system, it will purify it. James Kornacki says it takes the sulfites right out of the wine, and it's the first product to do that. What enables this product is the Select Sulfite Capture technology that I developed, which treats sulfites more as like something that can be pulled out with a magnet. We don't screw up the wine chemistry. Wine is one of the most complex beverages that we know of. There are about 1,000 compounds in there. So his little machine is going to pull out the sulfites and touch nothing else. There's a whole range of ULO products available, from a craft to a decanter and a purifier, with prices starting around £65. Plus, there's the filters you have to buy, too, which come in at about £2.5 each use. But if it really does eliminate hangovers, I don't think it will. But if you're interested, you can get a hold of it. ULO, U-L-L-O. That's out of Chicago. They could get rich over the fact that saying we're going to beat your hangovers, and people go, oh yeah, and they'll buy it, and they find out that they still have a hangover, and they go, well, that didn't work. Of course not, because it's not the sulfites anyway that are causing your hangover. It's the alcohol usually that causes the hangover. I have a puzzle here. The fiendishly hard 2016 wine quiz. It's tough. It's a tough little quiz. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. There's no way I can give this to you over the radio, and I'm not going to try. I will post it up on our Facebook page. So if you're interested, check out the Facebook page. There's also other puzzles there, too, other quizzes. What grape am I quiz? Festive Fizz quiz, and Port quiz, and Christmas Wine quiz. So all these are also on that page. Or I'll post this page up on Facebook, and you all can take the quiz yourself. I went through this. This is a pretty tough quiz. But it's fun. So something to look at. And one last thing I want to talk about is wine and chocolate. All right. Everybody talks about the perfect pairing of wine and chocolate, how great they are together, what wonderful thing, what wonderful taste. But this article here by Joseph Hernandez from the Chicago Tribune, and this is out of the Chicago Tribune, by the way. Joseph Hernandez says, not really. You know, he said that the wine companies will tell you that chocolate and wine are great pairings, and it's, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up in a couple of months or a month and a half, and, you know, but wine and chocolate doesn't always work. And here's his reasoning behind it. He says it's rare that this is he has a Los Angeles-based sommelier by the name of Whitney Adams. It's rare, Adams says, to step away from the red wines, the heavy dry reds like Zins, Cab, and Pinots, and instead reach for other categories, specifically dessert or fortified wines like Port or Madeira. So Madeira is slightly sweet, salty, and nutty in a glass. They'd reach for a rare wine company, Madeira, for that special treat. Chocolate, by nature, is bitter. Like wine, it also contains tannins, the astringent compound found in wines that causes that filling in your mouth. Pairing wine, also typically higher in acid, with bitter chocolate just throws your palate out of whack. So there's nothing wrong with eating chocolate and wine, but if you're going to for a specific pairing, get away from the heavy reds. And I've always, you know, people have always said, oh, I love a big bold Cabernet or a big big heavy Merlot or Zinfandel with some real dark chocolate. I've done it, and, you know, a few times I've had the great combination, but most of the time I'm not. But this Michael Montante, a manager of Vin Chicago, and also an advanced sommelier, says you want a little sweetness in your wine. A little bit of Lambrusco can go quite nicely with chocolate. Lambrusco is a sparkling red wine from Italy. Doesn't have a whole lot of bubbles, little fine bubbles. It's got a fruitier profile, and it would lead to a much better taste between the wine and the chocolate. Wine and chocolate are often dramatically opposed in flavor, so the trick is to look for the whole experience and not just one part. He says, Markoff suggests pulling out flavors from the chocolate that can be mirrored in the wine. If the chocolate is already very sweet, a dessert wine can be too much. So you want to back off from it. He said chocolate, the higher acid in brandy provides balance and lift. So if you're looking at chocolate, if you insist on red wine with dark chocolate, at least get away from the tannic styles. Go for a juicier wine like a California Merlot or an Austrian Shiraz. And also you can go with brown spirits like whiskey or rums or stuff. And so it's a good combination there. It's a nice balance with that chocolate and the tannins and the chocolate that balance with the spirits. So wine and chocolate. Watch your, you know, just don't look at the heavy reds and say, ah, that's what I want. You know, look at that for a balance. You want something that's going to match. And again, your chocolates are going to be all different too, just like your wine. So it's not just say, okay, I've got myself a red wine. Let me throw a Hershey dark chocolate kiss in my mouth, and that'll make it so much better. You can get an even better taste treat if you try to look at that and balance that out a little bit more. So, and I'll let Mike talk to us about the upcoming Saturday Wine Festival. And, before I forget, we're always saying that every week, you know, let's see, what have we got coming up on this week? What's happening on this week? What can we do? Well, I'm going to start telling you things that you can do every week. What did I do with my paper now? Jeez, it was just here. Oh, there. No, that's not it. But we will let you know every week what is coming up so you can celebrate with a glass of wine. And like Mike said, do you really need an excuse to drink wine? And my answer was no, but this is always fun to have something here that you can have a reason. Oh, what? Oh, there it is. I was using it for a bookmark, and that's why I couldn't find it. January 2017 is National Hot Tea Month, so you can celebrate with a glass of wine. National Oatmeal Month, National Slow Cooking Month, National Soup Month. Oh, wine and soup, there you go. And National Bread Machine Baking Month. So there's reasons for all of January. New Year's Day is actually National Bloody Mary Day. The second is National Cream Puff Day. The third is National Chocolate Covered Cherry Day. The fourth is National Spaghetti Day. So, hey, all sorts of wines can be paired that day. And then we'll be back on the 5th, but that's National Whipped Cream Day. So, did you know that there is a shortage of the whipped cream that comes in a can?
No.
There is.
What?
This Christmas, there was a big shortage of whipped cream in a can. You know, the type you tilt into your mouth and squeeze. Yes, because of nitrogen shortage. Nitrogen is the propellant in the can to squirt out the whipped cream, and there is a nitrogen shortage. Two companies or three companies that make it, one of them went down, the other one is in maintenance mode, and so there's only one, and it can't keep up with it. So there's a shortage of whipped cream in a can.
Wow.
How about that?
That's
so
odd. I didn't know there was a thing. I didn't know that could be positive. I never thought about what went into it. I just, oh, okay.
I know. Me either. Until I read the article, and I'm going, oh, wow, okay. So then you go to the store, and you look on the shelves, and sure enough, whipped cream in a can is not there. So you're going, ah, I know why. So there you go. There's our events coming up this week for you to celebrate with wine. And
yep.
I'll let Mike talk to you.
You can also celebrate every Thursday before the wine show starts.
That's right. Oh, they're coming
next,
on.
Next chance of that, like you said. Yeah. January 5th. Yeah. Pour a little glass and enjoy the show while you're drinking. The research department has found the ROCKS AVA you were talking about earlier. It's a sub-appellation of the Walla Walla Valley AVA, which is itself a sub-appellation of the Columbia Valley AVA, but the ROCKS is entirely inside the state of Oregon. So those other two, I believe, are kind of like between Oregon and Washington. The ROCKS is specifically within the state of Oregon. It was established in 2015.
Wow, new ABA.
It's just an arid climate region, about 3,700 something acres. Pretty good. It's looked at that up. Then I looked up the ulowine.com site. They do show the filters. The wine purifier itself in U.S. dollars is $79.99. Then you have selective sulfite capture filters. They start at $19.99. They also have a decanter and a carafe set. It says basically all wine. This is according to them. All wine contains sulfites, which are artificial preservatives added during production. They are no longer needed once the bottle is opened. No idea. Then the system purifies it. Proprietary polymer technology filters away free sulfites and their bitter taste while allowing other compounds in wine to flow through unaffected. No idea. Pour wine through selective sulfite capture. Free sulfites are reduced to a more naturally occurring level for most wines. So where that relates to
And like I say, they'll sell it. They'll sell those because people go,
oh, yeah.
Sulfites give me headaches. This will be great. I won't get a headache now. And they'll sell them.
Yep.
And then they'll get headaches and they'll say, well, maybe I did it wrong. They can't be wrong.
It's,
you know.
There's something that just went through, a quote from somebody. It says, I dedicate this evening to this Ulo wine for the first drink of wine ever without crushing sinus pain.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know.
It's beyond me.
It's very futuristic. It's futuristic looking. I guess it's new, and I don't know. It's just a interesting look to it. It's basically designed to fit on top of a variety of wine glasses. They show it on different wine glasses. There's also the bottle.
That's how it works on glasses.
But, you can pour it directly. Put this device, the wine purifier, the $80, put that on top of a wine glass and filter your wine through it. So
with the right filter, you got another 12 or 19 or whatever. Just with,
$20 roughly for the selective sulfite capture filters.
You got 80 and 28, so you're looking at over $100 there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it comes with the filter. Maybe the wine purifier, you know, the $80 thing. Included is the wine purifier, travel bag, display base, and 4 selective sulfite capture single bottle filters. Okay,
there you go.
So it does come with some filters to get you started. That's
get
$80.
You started.
And it comes with a travel bag and a display case because you want to display it somehow.
Well, yeah, you gotta show people that you're. Yeah.
Yeah. What is that?
I don't know. That's my sulfite filter.
Yes.
Yeah. That's great for them that they invented a filter that does just sulfites and not any of the other, as they say, thousands of other things in the wine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can
just
separate that. Interesting. Quick shout out to for liking, or I was tweeting while you were talking, and Heather Gordon Blanc de Blonde on Twitter liked one of the tweets, and that kind of brings notice to the show as well. So thank you for doing that. And yes, you do have events coming up. Let me see if there's that's not until January. So this New Year's Eve. Wow, that's bold. Saturday. You do have a wine fest, and I'll be right back in a minute or so and let y'all know about
coming
that.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flune.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
So come on out this weekend, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's December 31st, New Year's Eve. It's going to be a really nice day, maybe a little bit on the cool side, maybe. But you can do a wine tasting with Ron and enjoy the music of Constantine. He does a great show out there, a lot of good sounds and everything with him. Really enjoyed it during the birthday celebration you had. And you can shop the vendors and also eat, thanks to Susan and or Susie's dogs, served by husband Charlie. Those two are funny together. It's just amazing. There's all sorts of crafts out there. You can pick up some handmade items and some more, like Mary Kay's going to be out there, Mary Kay Cosmetics. will be represented as well. There's also Jerry. I didn't see him last time, but Tampa Bay's original Italian olive salad since 2002. Interesting. Amy's going to be
comes
there
up
with.
Every once in a while, he'll have a day and he'll come out and they're good olives.
Sounds interesting. Yeah. Premium quality candles and wax melts, hand poured in Land O'Lakes. A&E Scents will be there. Let's see, Heavenly Honey Products, which I do have. I think that's the same one. Yeah, and yeah. All kinds of good stuff. Doggy sweaters, a good time to pick up some there and do some shopping. Pick up some unique items and gifts for friends and family and yourself, and come out and enjoy the weekend at Florida State's Winery, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. this Saturday. So come on out and enjoy it. The next wine class looks like it's going to be January 15th. Those are 3 hours. We'll give you more information next week or the week after to get you into that. But very informative and enjoyable class, as always, at Florida State's Winery. We'll give you details next time on the show. So that is all I have here. Thanks for tuning in. I guess we're done with the show here. I did my rocks and the purifier. Okay. And stay tuned to the Facebook page for, like Ron said, he's going to be posting some stuff on there. So that's always good. And we'll see you all next year.
Next
January 5th, 2017. Yeah, 2017. Be safe this weekend. Definitely be safe. And, responsible. Yes,
and don't
responsible
drink too much and get in
a
vehicle. There are all sorts of programs out there, so you don't have to drive if you think you've had too much. Use them.
Take a chance. Yep. There's all kinds of, I think AAA does a free tow service or something if you've had too much. There's all kinds of options out there. Don't risk it. Don't risk other people's lives. Don't risk your own life. And we want to see you, have a good 2017. Take care, and we'll see you on January 5th. Thanks for tuning in. Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next year.
Happy New Year. Woo-hoo. Okay, bye.
Bye.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery. Florida State's Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida State's Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.